Will the House come to order? Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? This is one of the things that kind of concerns the chair here, that when we get down to close to adjournment and we have a problem with the computer, the answer? Representative Choquette, are you seeking the floor?
No, sir.
Okay.
Thanks, Brad.
You'll find that there's a nameplate on one of those places there for you.
Say what?
Call has been satisfied. Representative Lehman is here. Would the members indicate their presence by voting? Has anybody failed to vote? Would the clerk take the roll? 11 members present. 2 have said nay, that they're not here. Would the clerk keep the roll open for members to meet the quorum here? Our chaplain today is Bishop Michael Kenny. Would the members please rise for the invocation?
I feel like this is a 6:45 mass at the cathedral. I haven't heard anybody's here. So let us pray. Oh God, this is it. For this body, it's the 11th hour, the final chapter, the home stretch, the last inning. It's a time so crowded and frenetic that these men and women have scarcely a moment for anything but words, last-minute bargaining, more words, necessary compromises, more words, and final closures. Maybe the thing they don't need now are still more words, even of prayer to you. So instead, let them have a moment's peace to go within, to touch base with you, to breathe deeply your spirit, and to come out running. Amen.
Representative Lehman, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread upon the journal.
Are there any objections as having the prayer spread across the journal? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Thank you, Bishop Kenny, for that prayer. The clerk has indicated to me that The journal is not quite complete. As you know, our floor session was lengthy, so we will have the approval of the 119th legislative day at a later time. Do we have any guests for introduction today? No guests for introduction? Messages from the governor?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the other House?
The Senate has passed and returned committee substitute for House Bill 158, Labor and Commerce Amended, an act relating to the licensing requirements for architects, engineers, and land surveyors. And the Senate has adopted a Senate letter of intent. Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill 54, Finance Title M, with the following amendment. Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 54, CNRA, and act relating to the distribution of national forest receipts, providing for the distribution of national forest receipts to an organized borough in proportion to the percentage of the national forest within the organized borough, establishing an unorganized borough national forest receipts fund to be utilized for the benefit of public schools and roads in the unorganized borough, providing for distributions from the fund to communities in the unorganized borough, and providing for an effective date. The Senate has concurred in the House amendment to Senate Bill 251, thus passing House committee substitute for Senate Bill 251 LNC, and act relating to regulation of securities held by insurers and providing for an effective date. The Senate has passed the following for consideration. Committee substitute for sponsor.
Mr. Majority Leader.
May we please have a brief of these?
Yeah. We were on messages for the governor. Did you roll in there too? Okay. Okay, Mr. Majority Leader, for the House standings. Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we're under reports or messages from the Senate.
The Senate has passed has transmitted the following for consideration. Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 37, Finance, by the Senate Finance Committee. And act relating to food and housing for construction workers at remote construction sites on certain state highway and airport construction projects, and providing for an effective date.
So we'll have two standing committees, Community and Regional Affairs and Finance.
Could we have an ad?
Messages from the Senate, and I was making bill referrals the other day. We had committee substitute for Senate Bill 25, Community and Regional Affairs, and this was an act concerning the exercise of authority by the state and its municipalities recovering the damages by the state and its municipality villages in matters relating to environmental conservation and relating to the liability of villages for environmental response action and to the state assist. Anyway, committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 25 will have additional referral, and it is in finance right now, but it will be referred to judiciary once it gets out of finance. Will the clerk continue?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 273, Finance, by the Senate Finance Committee, an act relating to the establishment of a peer review committee by the Board of Chiropractic Examiners.
Labor and Commerce, as well as Finance.
I have no further messages from the Senate.
Do we have any other communications that come before this body?
No, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to reports to standing committees. Mr. Majority Leader. Come back to order, Representative Donnelly.
Mr. Speaker, I would make kind of an unorthodox motion, but because of the time crunch and to get a 24-hour notice on a bill that's having some pretty significant regulation effects, may we go down to committee announcements?
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
I'd like to notice the Judiciary Committee would hear Senate Bill 272 regarding emergency regulations 24 hours from now.
Are there any further committee announcements of that nature? Any further standing or special committee announcements of that nature? Okay, this drops us down the daily order of business to reports to standing committees.
The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 251, Debt Retirement Fund, recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute, Judiciary, with a new title and due pass. Signed due pass, Martin Grunberg, Mike Miller, and Donnelly. The report was signed by Chairman Donnelly. HB 251 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. I have no further committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions?
Citation honoring Mr. Clinton Gray, reporter, printer, publisher, territorial legislator by Representative Foster and Senator Adams. Citation honoring Jennifer Blomfield by Representatives Davidson and Senator Jaroff. I have no further resolutions.
These citations will go to rules for calendaring.
I have no resolutions, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 349 by the House Rules Committee by request of the Governor, accompanied by a letter and a fiscal note, and act relating to annual leave, sick leave, and personal leave for certain officers and employees of the state and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 350 by the House Rules Committee by request of the Governor with a letter and a zero fiscal note. An act requiring certain general law and home rule cities and unified municipalities to provide area-wide police protection and law enforcement services and providing for an effective date.
Community and Regional Affairs and Judiciary.
House Bill 351 by the House Rules Committee by request of the Governor with a letter and 2-0 fiscal notes, an act relating to the frequency of inspection and testing of weighing and measuring devices, and authorizing the issuance of citations for violations of the Weights and Measures Act.
This will go to Transportation, Labor and Commerce, as well as the Finance Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction.
This brings us down to the daily calendar. The clerk, please read the first item on that calendar.
House Bill 321 by Representatives B. Davis, Ellis, and Brown, and act relating to the use of income earned by an entity through a community mental health project. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee has considered the bill and recommends due pass. Signing due pass, Foster, Mackey, Baker, B. Davis, and C. Davis. The Hess Committee considered the bill and recommends due pass. Signing due pass, C. Davis, Carney, Lincoln, Gonzalez, and B. Davis. I have no committee substitutes, Mr. Speaker.
Having no committee substitutes or amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the bill be considered engrossed and advanced to third reading.
Are there any objections to the motion to advance? Hearing none, would the clerk please give the bill its third reading?
House Bill 321, an act relating to the use of income earned by an entity through a community mental health project.
Third reading, under debate. Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I've been asked as a courtesy to call the House for a couple of people to get their attention. Thank you.
The House is under call. The bill is before us and under debate. Any further debate upon House Bill 321? The House is under call. Representative Martin? Well, Representative Martin, the House is under call. You can't get out. Would the House stand at ease until the call is satisfied? Will the House come back to order? Before the IDs, we are under call and in third reading. Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to lift a call.
Call has been lifted. It's going to be a long couple of days, so let's not make it any longer.
Morning, how are you?
Mr. Majority Leader.
I'm going to replace the call on the entire calendar.
Mr. Martin. Majority Leader, okay, the call is on the entire calendar, but we'll talk about that. Let's see, the call has not been satisfied. Mr. Majority Leader, I think for the sake of business that you should lift the call.
For the sake of business, I'll lift the call.
Any objections? Okay, the bill is before us in third reading. Under debate, Representative Lehman.
Mr. Speaker, the backup material doesn't indicate, and I just wondered if somebody here could so indicate what the department's position is on this bill.
Representative Benny Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The department's position is supportive of this management. It is not going to cause any impact on the state operation budget. There's very little income coming in because of the clause, and they feel that this is a positive way to go. So they have given their support and did testify at CRA.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I rise in support of this bill. This is a bill that is very badly needed by the community mental health centers across the state, and it doesn't in any way, as the other representative from District 14 indicated, impact the state. This would be above the community mental health centers grant money. They, you know, they have to match the money that they get from the state with a portion of their own, and this would be above the match.
Any further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 321 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
37 yeas, 0 nay.
House Bill 321 has passed the House. Representative Taylor?
I serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 321 and ask that my reconsideration be taken up in the same legislative day.
Notice of reconsideration has been given, and the mover of that motion has asked that reconsideration be brought up on the same day. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the bill is before us in third reading and under debate. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 321 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the board? Representative McLean? The clerk open the board. It still didn't register, Representative McLean. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
38 yeas, 0 nay.
House Bill 321 has passed the House under reconsideration. Representative Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we revert to introduction of guests, please?
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my pleasure today to introduce a visitor in the gallery behind me. He's from the state of New York and is here in Alaska. Networking with young Democrats in anticipation of his bid for the national presidency of that organization. Please help me welcome Mr. Doug Gordon.
Any further guests for introduction? Back at Representative Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce a distinguished guest from the AFL-CIO. In Gallery B, Mr. Mano Fry. Please help me welcome Mr. Fry.
Representative Parnell.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce a constituent of mine and Representative Baker, Pat Smuts.
Any further guests for introduction? This pulls us back into the calendar. The clerk, please read the next item on that calendar.
Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 65 Finance by the Senate Finance Committee. An act establishing the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority and defining its powers and duties relating to the trust established by the Alaska Mental Health Enabling Act of 1956 and to an integrated comprehensive mental health program. Abolishing the Interim Mental Health Trust Commission relating to the Older Alaskans Commission and the Governor's Council for the Handicapped and Gifted and services provided under Uniform Alcoholism and Intoxication Treatment Act. Amending the duties of the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation and the membership and duties of the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse and the Alaska Mental Health Board. Amending the jurisdiction of courts, exempting trust property from municipal taxation and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with a House Committee Substitute Finance with the same title and adopts the Senate Finance Letter of Intent. Signing due pass, McLean, Navarre, Kopanen, Brown, Phillips, Sharp, and Boyer. With no recommendation, Larson. I have a committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Having a committee substitute, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that we adopt the House Finance CS, 4CS, for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 65.
Are there any objection as to adopting the House Committee Substitute Finance? Hearing no objection, that CS, House Finance, has been adopted. Does the clerk have any further amendments upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown?
Could we have an at ease, Mr. Speaker?
Would the House stand at ease? Would the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we had the bill before us in second reading. The clerk has informed us that there are no amendments pending. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the bill be considered engrossed and advanced to third reading.
Yeah. Hearing objections, Representative Finkelstein.
Sorry, I was a little late. Just trying to gain recognition to bring up subject for a possible amendment.
Are you hypothecating?
Very accurate, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Finkelstein.
Mr. Speaker, I know we'll have more time later today, and I doubt, so I'm not intending to try to resolve this now, but I do have grave concerns, I know other members do, on Section 56. I've been trying to talk to the administration, sponsors, and others. Section 56 is on page 39. We're apparently being asked here to approve legislation that includes a list of lands that will be used as the backup for security in this settlement, which is well and fine. I don't have any problem with that concept, but we are unable to find out what those lands are, and we're being told that it is not public information, which amazes me that we could have something referenced in a law that we're supposed to vote on, and it's not public information. I just can't imagine how we can carry out our duties to best represent the public without knowing the choice we're making here, and I won't offer an amendment this time because I don't have one that will not cause serious damage to the settlement, but I will be working between now and any later consideration to try to find that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Moyer, to set the representative mind at ease.
Yes, to hopefully give some comfort to the member asking the question. It, I think, is the intent of some members to perhaps craft a letter of intent that would clarify for the record that the hypothecated lands at some date tied to the effective date of this act would, in fact, become a public document. The difficulty here is that the hypothecation is literally occurring as we speak. I mean, it's coming together as a pool of lands, and the whole issue is still very much the subject of litigation, and it's being continued to be negotiated, and as such, it is not a public process. And so it's difficult for us to find a lot of comfort there, I know, but later this morning, I think we will have a letter of intent that will clarify that as it comes together and as it is finally settled and as the court kind of lays its hands on this settlement, that hypothecated acreage will, in fact, become public.
Now, we are talking in terms, in second reading, of a potential amendment, so let's not let the debate stray too far. Representative Taylor.
Yeah, I only wanted to make one additional point, and that is that the hypothecated lands are only going to be mortgaged, if you will, for so long as it takes to reconstitute the trust. Last night when we placed another $75 million in there, in essence, if that stays, you released $75 million of hypothecated lands. That's a major chunk. As the lands are transferred into the trust, the hypothecated lands are released. So to the extent that a pledge is made, if we are successful and this bill is successful, within probably 2 to 3 years, there will be no hypothecated lands. The trust will have been basically reconstituted. Thank you.
I hope this doesn't become a buzzword. Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Hypothecated or not, I intend to oppose any amendments or any changes to this legislation. I think that meddling with it can't do anything except get us into more trouble. We've got a settlement that everyone's agreed to. I'm satisfied with it, and I think almost everyone is satisfied and should stay satisfied with it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader, would the House stand at ease? Would the House come back to order? Before the ADs, we had a motion to advance to third reading. There were objections. There have been some Representative Finkelstein?
Mr. Speaker, I withdraw my objection.
Are there objections maintained in the motion to advance? Hearing no objection, the clerk, please read the title of that bill for the third time.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 65, Finance. An act establishing the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority and defining its powers and duties relating to the trust established by the Alaska Mental Health Enabling Act of 1956 and to an integrated comprehensive mental health program. Abolishing the Interim Mental Health Trust Commission relating to the Older Alaskans Commission and the Governor's Council for the Handicapped and Gifted and services provided under the Uniform Alcoholism and Intoxication Treatment Act. Amending the duties of the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation and the membership and duties of the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse and the Alaska Mental Health Board. Amending the jurisdiction of courts, exempting trust property from municipal taxation and providing for an effective date.
Third reading, under debate. Representative Finkelstein.
Speaker, I can't believe no one's going to say anything. I'm just going to explain why I'm going to vote no on this today. Every effort I've made in this issue over the last few years has been built around trying to get more money towards mental health programs in the state. I have not yet had anyone make a case to me this is going to lead to more money for mental health programs in the state of Alaska, that the realistic chance is that it isn't going to occur. It's very hard to make money on land management, especially on some of the lands that will be involved in this settlement. If you look at the university settlement, they've made very, very little money, even after now 8 years of trying, or 6 years of trying on their settlement. And I just think the bottom line is not there. I don't think we're going to find any necessary amount of money to support the mental health program. I do believe that this settlement meets the requirements of the court mandate. I do believe it reconstitutes the trust. Whether it's good for the public and the mental health patients is another issue. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gail Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to offer an observation. Probably the reason nobody is saying anything is because it's all been said.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 65 Finance pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Representative Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. From nay to yay.
From nay to yay. Representative Hudson.
Nay to yay.
From nay to yay. Does any other member wish to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
36 yeas, 2 nays.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 65 Finance has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on final passage be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, the clause has been adopted.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you. There is a letter of intent to accompany the bill, and it's back in the packet, and it states, it's the intent of the legislature that the Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources and the Mental Health Authority report annually to the legislature at the beginning of the session on the progress of the implementation of this legislation, including a list of lands traded and conveyed. I move the letter of intent and ask unanimous consent.
Any objections to the letter of intent? Hearing none, the letter of intent has been adopted. Representative Boyer.
Vote on this bill.
Are there any notice of reconsideration has been given on the bill that's before us?
Time to do this letter of intent.
For the information of the body, information that is known to the chair, there is some wording that's going to occur in a letter of intent.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Taylor.
Yeah, a letter of intent can be passed by this body at any time. We could just as easily get this out of here at this time, and they can work on the letter of intent till we close this session.
That is too true, Mr. Minority Leader. Representative Boyer?
Mr. Speaker, with that understanding, I would move that we bring up that reconsideration at this time, same day.
Are there any objections? Notice of reconsideration has been given. The mover of that has asked that it be brought up on the same day. Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the item will be before us. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 65 Finance pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
36 yeas, 3 nays.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 65 Finance has passed the House in reconsideration. Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd ask unanimous consent. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on final passage be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Any objections? Hearing none, the effective date clause has been adopted. Representative Navarre, with the House stand at ease. Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we had just adopted the effective date for Senate Bill 65, the one with all the other letters before that. And we have adopted the effective date and the letter of intent, Mr. Majority Leader. Are there any objections?
Did you hear that? I move the letter of intent and ask unanimous consent.
Mr. Majority Leader, perhaps maybe, well, this is the first letter of intent. Any objections? Hearing no objections, the letter of intent is moved. Representative Hudson?
I was just trying to figure what date that has on it.
This would be, you'd find it on page 1628. Hearing no objection, the letter of intent has been adopted. Representative Boyer. Are there any objections? Hearing none.
There's one person in this room now that has been very, very helpful to me over the years, particularly as it relates to mental health budgeting. I've never introduced a staff member on the floor in my 5 years down here, but this person has been absolutely dedicated to this mental health issue, not only the budget side of things, but the lands issue as well, and I'd like the body to help me recognize and welcome Kurt Parkin, who is my staff person.
Under introduction of guests, Representative Donnelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B is a friend of mine who's a brother in the same union I belong to, the Laborers Union, Don Rouleau.
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Ulmer and I have a friend and a visitor over in Gallery B, Bruce Ludwig. Bruce used to work for me when I was Commissioner of Administration on labor negotiations in behalf of administration. He's now on the other side of the fence. Would you help me welcome him?
Representative Taylor, introduction, I guess.
Yeah, a constituent, not of mine, but of Representatives Ulmer and Hudson, old friend, known his family, too, for years, standing back in Gallery A, is Dale Reed.
Any further guests for introduction? This drops us into the calendar. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 184, Hess by the Senate Hess Committee, an act relating to correctional industries and the Correctional Industries Commission, continuing the Correctional Industries Program, and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with the House Committee Substitute Finance with the same title and adopts the Senate Labor and Commerce Letter of Intent. Signing DuPass, Navarre, Larson, and Ulmer. Signing Norek, Boyer, Brown, Kopanen, Phillips, McLean, and Sharp. I have a committee substitute, Mr. Speaker.
Having a House committee substitute, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent we adopt the House Finance CS for CS for Senate Bill 184.
Are there any objection as to adoption of the CS, the House CS, Finance? Hearing no objection, the committee substitute House Finance has been adopted. Does the clerk have any further amendments upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Having no further amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the bill be considered engrossed and advanced to third reading.
I'll object, Mr. Speaker, and ask for a brief at ease.
Would the House stand at ease? With a... Diamond Mall. Objections? Are those objections maintained?
No, Mr.
Speaker. Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, would the clerk please read the title of that bill for the third time?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 184, Finance, an Act Relating to Correctional Industries and the Correctional Industries Commission, continuing the Correctional Industries Program and providing for an effective date.
Third reading, under debate. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 184, Finance, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
25 yeas, 0 nay.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 184, Finance, has passed the House. We better get some members in here. Mr. Majority Leader?
Yes, I move the effective date clause and call it at ease.
Okay, the effective date clause has been moved. We're calling it at ease. We now have picked up another one.
Oh, for the effective date. Yeah. I wasn't thinking.
By the Majority Leader, would the House please vote on the adoption of the effective date clause? Has any member failed to vote? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the vote?
31 yeas, 0 nay.
The effective date clause has been adopted. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There is a letter of intent from the members' packet, and I move and ask unanimous consent that the letter of intent,
Senate Labor and Commerce letter of intent, and I move and ask unanimous consent that it be adopted.
Are there any objections to the adoption of the letter of intent? Hearing none, the letter of intent has been adopted. Would the clerk read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill 188, amended by the Senate Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to employment contributions and to extending the pilot project for state training and employment programs and providing for an effective date. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered the bill and recommends DuPass. Signing DuPass, Donnelly, Finkelstein, Bruckman, and Parnell. The Finance Committee considered the bill and recommended DuPass. Signing DuPass, Navarre, Boyer, Brown, Copen, and Sharp, Ulmer, and Larson. With no recommendation, McLean, Jacko, and Phillips. I have no committee substitutes, Mr. Speaker.
Without committee substitutes or amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Yeah, before the motion takes place, Mr. Speaker, I would appreciate the patience of the body if the minority could have a caucus. We'll meet down in the Belch Room, and I would ask for an at-ease for that purpose. No longer than 20 minutes, Mr. Speaker.
Okay. The House will stand at ease for... roughly 20 minutes. Will the House come back to order? Before the at-ease, we had Senate Bill 188 amended in second reading. We were at the point of a motion to advance, but knowing there would be objections in a minority caucus, we had taken at ease.
are the objection. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have no objection to the advancement of this bill.
Hearing no objection, will the clerk read the title of that bill for the third time?
Senate Bill 188, amended, an act relating to employment contributions and to extending the pilot project for state training and employment programs and providing for an effective date.
The bill is before us in third reading and under debate. Mr. Majority Leader? The House has been called. Is there any debate upon Senate Bill 188?
It makes sense.
Representative Martin?
Mr. Speaker, the only problem I have with this bill, the program has proven itself very successful, and I'm wondering why we're still calling it a pilot program after 2 years. Why not just make it a program to be financed? Pilot programs usually suggest something temporary, tentative, so it proves itself, and it certainly has proven worthwhile.
Any further debate? Representative Kopanen?
I believe the hope is that we can make the program self-financing through working with the private industry council. Thereafter, there would be no further need for state funding. That's the hope, anyway.
Any further debate upon the bill? Mr. Majority Leader, I think you could probably lift your call on this so we can continue to move. Mr. Majority Leader?
I lift the call.
The call has been lifted. There's a few more people drifting in here. Okay. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall Senate Bill 188 amended pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
30 yeas, 0 nay.
Senate Bill 188 amended has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call. The roll call on final passage.
That the roll call on final passage be considered the roll call on, I'm going to say, the effective date clauses. It's not clear whether Section 3 would be considered an effective date clause, but on the assumption it is, I'm going to be safe rather than sorry.
So are there any objection as the adoption of the effective date clauses? Hearing no objection, the effective date clauses have been adopted. Would the clerk please refer to the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill 190 by the Senate Rules Committee by... Senate Bill 190 by the Senate Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to powers of the Alaska Safety Advisory Council and providing for an effective date. Finance Committee has considered the bill and recommends due pass. Signing due pass, Boyer, Brown, Kopanen, Ulmer, and Navarre. No recommendation, McLean, Jacko, Sharp, and R. Phillips. I have no committee substitutes.
Having no committee substitutes nor amendments, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 190 be considered engrossed and advanced to third reading.
Are there any objection to the motion to advance? Representative Taylor?
Yes, I'll withdraw the objection I'm making right now, but I want to indicate to the chair that there's some of us that are going to sit on this floor all day and do the state's business and get it done. There's others that are going to run out in the hall, make their deals, and run around and do the rest of it. And if I don't have the rules chairman sitting back in here going through this thing with me, along with a few of the other members of the majority, things are going to stop.
Representative Taylor, the call, of course, is available to any member here, and of course we all understand that certain people have to do certain things at this time of the year, but your remarks are well taken. Are the objections maintained to the advancement to third reading? Hearing no objection, will the clerk please read the title of that bill?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 190, an act relating to powers of the Alaska Safety Advisory Council and providing for an effective date.
Okay. The bill is before us in third reading and under debate. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall Senate Bill 190 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
35 yeas, 0 nay.
Senate Bill 190 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on final passage be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objections as to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 213, financed by the Senate Finance Committee, an act relating to State versus Amerada Hess with respect to transfers to the dividend fund and providing for an effective date. The Judiciary Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with a House Committee substitute Judiciary with the same title and due pass and adopts a House Judiciary letter of intent. Signed and due pass, Gruenberg, Donnelly, and Parnell. With no recommendation, Martin and Ellis. The Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with the House Committee substitute Judiciary with the same title and adopt the House Judiciary letter of intent. Signing due pass, Ulmer, Larson, Sharp, Boyer, Brown, Copen, and R. Phillips, McLean, and Navarre. I have a committee substitute, Mr. Speaker.
Having a committee substitute, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House adopt the House Judiciary CS for Senate Bill 213.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the House CS Judiciary? Representative Martin, objection to that? Okay. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the House Committee Substitute Judiciary has been adopted. Does the clerk have any further amendments upon her desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Having no further amendments, Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the bill be considered engrossed and advance to third reading.
Any objection to the motion to advance? Representative Martin?
Yes, sir. At this moment, for purpose of explanation, because I did ask a question down in Judiciary, and I realized that they were trying to expedite this bill because of its importance. But I'm wondering if the chairman of Judiciary would clarify the question I have, to what degree, if any, would this bill and the settlement of these monies impact the constitutional amendment passed last year, which is now amendment number 27, I think, that 50% of all settlements, legal settlements, will go into the budget reserve account. That would be my first question. So now, if we had an answer on that, I'd appreciate it.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Here we have a brief at ease.
Would the House stand at ease? Will the House come back to order, Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We're going to get an answer to that question. That question deserves an answer, and I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent to move the bill to the bottom of the calendar.
Are there any objections? The bill will be moved to the bottom of the calendar in second reading. Let the clerk read the next item on today's calendar.
Senate Bill 132 by Senator Fisher, an act relating to the school term. The Hess Committee considered the bill and had individual recommendations. Signing due pass, Carney, Mary Miller, and Gonzalez. With no recommendation, C. Davis, B. Davis, and Lincoln. The Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with a House Committee substitute, Finance, with a new title and due pass. Signing due pass, McLean, Navarre, Boyer, Brown, R. Phillips, Barnes, and Jacko. With no recommendation, Copen and Sharp, Larson, and Ulmer. I have committee substitute, Mr. Speaker.
Having committee substitutes, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that we adopt the House Finance CS.
Any objection to the adoption of the CS Finance? Hearing none, the House CS Finance has been adopted. Is there any further amendments pending?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the bill be considered engrossed and advanced to third reading.
Any objection to the motion to advance? Hearing none, would the clerk please give the bill its third reading?
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 132, Finance, an act relating to the school term and providing for an effective date.
Third reading, under debate. Representative Baker?
Mr. Speaker, I just have a question. I noted with interest in the newspaper the other day that the City of Borough Juneau is looking at year-round school. And I guess what comes to mind, if I read this legislation, perhaps the good representatives, plural, from this area could respond. Would this, the passage of this law, in any way preclude Juneau from being able to extend the school year in order to accommodate their needs here? I know it's traditional to have a 180-day year, but if they're with year-round school, if they're looking at extension of the school year, I just, Mr. Speaker, raises a question in my mind whether or not that might be a problem to them.
Representative Brown?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't believe that would be a problem if the body would look at page 1, line 11. It says a school term shall include not less than 180 days in session. So I believe that a district could have a longer term.
Representative Cabina.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I voted against this bill last year. I believe it was passed and vetoed, but I have a problem just because it says school board may adopt a term less than 160 days for other purposes. And it just leaves it so wide open, and it seems like the whole push on school years ought to be to lengthen the school year. I mean, our school year is one of the shortest in the world, and it's one of the problems that we have in, you know, keeping up with the other industrialized nations. So I don't know. I'm going to vote no on the bill, and I think people ought to think seriously about it.
Any further debate? Representative Brown?
Mr. Speaker, I agree with the comments of the prior speaker as to the desirability of a longer school year. We talked about that briefly in finance and concluded that this vehicle was not the appropriate place to address that issue because it would have pretty large financial implications, but I think there's certainly interest in our committee in looking more at that.
Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In response to my friend from Anchorage, I don't believe this would preclude them from literally holding two 180-day or, if they're removing asbestos, 150-day terms. At least that's the way I read it. And if it did, and that was an option that school districts needed to have because of cost crunches and things of this nature, we certainly would have to come back in and take care of that.
Representative Sherry Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have discussed this subject at great length in Hess, and we've discussed it in several of the committees and things that I've been on in the last couple of years, and the idea of a longer school term is gaining momentum, I believe, and I think will be coming. And I would just like to kind of caution, I guess, folks that are looking at this vehicle, assuming it passes and goes into law. They may have a temporary situation in which they can have a shorter school term for whatever reason, but they may, in a few years, I would hope, be looking at actually a longer school term and having to adjust in some other manner if they want to adjust. Thank you.
Representative Lehman.
Mr. Speaker, I wasn't on a committee that reviewed this year, but last year I know I looked into it, and I've also looked at the backup. It's my understanding that this situation has come up because of some cases where children either want to participate in subsistence or perhaps commercial fishing activities, or if in the case of Nikolaevsk, I believe, and some of the other associated old believer communities, there's some needs for religious holidays, and so the equivalent number of days will still be there, but my understanding is that some of these schools may want to either meet on Saturdays or Sundays or longer days, and so I think the equivalent amount of instruction will still be there.
Representative Mary Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The previous speaker hit on a number of the issues that I wanted to bring up. The bill before us is sponsored by a member of the other body, but there is a
do we call it a companion bill or a bill very similar to this being sponsored by one of the members of this House in the majority, and I happen to agree with it. And I think on that other bill, I'm a co-sponsor. From what I heard in deliberating on this bill, I think this is a way to address the diversity in our state. The intent is that the local school district can determine what school days best will accomplish the equivalency of the 180-day school term. They're not asking for less. In fact, as the ones, I believe the sponsor of this bill, shall we say, rather than addressing it in any other manner, the sponsor of this bill indicated that, in fact, the parents, the local school district can use this as a tool. For example, if you have a volcanic eruption and the children are not in school for health and safety reasons, you can then make up those hours in session. I don't know if I have anything further to add, just that I had opportunity to hear the House bill version of this and the Senate proposal. And in each instance, many questions were raised, and I'm convinced that this is not going to have anything to do with extending the school term, but really aids all of the local districts for whatever reason, whether it be subsistence lifestyle, whether it be fishing opening, for whatever reason children are not going to be in school, this allows the local school board to set the dates. Otherwise, it's my understanding that parents can just take children out of school and they don't, they're in their school system.
And this bill would give flexibility to our district.
Representative Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's with reluctance that I rise to indicate that I'm going to vote a no on this bill. And I have stated in the HESS committee meeting that we had and to other members that my reluctance on the passage of this bill is I have no problem with the schools accommodating a catastrophe that might occur in their area and to make adjustments accordingly. But I have real concern when we start talking about adjusting because of hunting and fishing activities that a school might close. Mr. Speaker and the members of this body, I feel that I want my kids to learn reading, writing, and arithmetic, and all of what the school is there to teach our children. We as parents can teach our children the hunting, fishing, trapping, and take them out of school if we feel that is important, and they'll be shown as an absent. But I don't feel that we should give the schools an opportunity now to close schools so that they can say, use as an excuse, well, all of the kids were out hunting, or all the kids wanted to go out fishing, or the families wanted to remove them to have, quote, whoever determines what a subsistence lifestyle is. And I want our kids, which right now is not reflected in the state educational system, our students being up on the top. Our students are way down on the bottom. And I want my kids to be in school and get the education that they deserve. And so for that reason, I am hesitantly voting no on this bill. Thank you.
Representative Ivan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can we call it an adieu?
Would the House stand at ease? Would the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we were talking about a bill that had 180 days, and we have 120, 21 days, depending on how you look at it, and our time is running out too. Representative Ivan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm standing up to this bill and certainly do not agree with my colleague from District 24. In that, I like the way the bill is written. It's requiring no less than 180 days, school days for children. And I believe that once that is satisfied, the children should go back to the family and either subsistence fish or commercial fish or perform work as, for example, summer youth programs or actual summer family work earning income. And I believe that children cannot learn everything in school. They've got to go out there and sweat and see how the world, working world is. And with that, I support the bill as it is. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Choquette, were you seeking the floor?
Yes, very briefly, Mr. Speaker, I've got two questions. We've heard from one teacher, a representative from Valdez, on this bill. The only letter of support I find in here is from NEA, and I'd surely like to hear from another teacher if there's one in this body, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Taylor, we are under third reading. Representative Betty Davis.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not a teacher. I mean, I have taught, but I'm not formally a teacher, but I've served on the school board for 8.5 years, and I think I'm quite capable of speaking to the issue. You may look at it any way that you want to, but I believe that this only strengthens the situation for students that are out of school anyway. Now, the school district will come up with a plan to make sure that they get the schooling that they have missed. The way it is now, without this change in the law, students are being absent and they just miss those days out of school, and if they can make it up when they get back, fine. There's no formal way for them to make it up. And for that reason, I'm supportive of this. This does not take away from anyone wanting to extend the day if they want to do that. A lot of people are looking at year-round schools. This bill has nothing to do with that at all. It's given an option to local school district to look at the needs of that district and say, now, we have X number of children mixed in school. We need to do something about it. Let's present a plan, hope that they will pass it, and then we'll make up these days on the days when those kids come back to school on Saturday, Sunday, or extended day. And so it is a good bill, and I urge you to support it.
Representative Taylor?
Yes, thank you. I'd also like to speak in support of the bill and in response to the member who was concerned about families going out fishing or hunting, and that would be somehow an excuse for getting away from what we would all like to see, and that's every child in school doing a wonderful job. Let me suggest to you that I personally believe that hunting and fishing activity is very important. I can give you an example of my own district. When we used to have something other than a one-day halibut opening, or a derby, as we now call it, for commercial fishermen of halibut, Petersburg had one of the biggest halibut fleets on the West Coast. And during that period of time, most young men moving into that field, and young women too now, had a very difficult time getting out on the first halibut trip of the season, because they would be in school. Many of their teachers also participated, and to do so they had to lose money, and the kids had to risk flunking a grade in school and so on. The Petersburg School Board did everything they could to accommodate its own community so they could make certain that their fleet left and was successful. But it was very difficult for them. Had this law been in effect, it would have been very easy for that community to have adjusted its schedule, and more people, probably 3 or 4 times as many people, could have participated in the halibut fishery and the other fisheries that come up. Today, with the seasonal openings being what they are, a person could literally only have to take off 3 or 4 days from teaching school or going to school as a student and be able to participate in that entire fishery, because it only takes one day, and if you bait up on one day and clean the boat up the day after, it'll probably only take four days at the most, putting the gear on board and everything else. So they could be a full crew member and yet still not have really injured themselves in the school, and the school board, understanding that, if they wish to, could make an accommodation of that sort. I think that's just very healthy. I then look to the Kenai Peninsula, where we have certain religious groups that have holidays that fall at different times than the normal Judeo-Christian heritage that we find, most of us find ourselves in. It would allow that school district the flexibility and opportunity to provide for those people. I can personally tell you that my own father was thrown out as a senior in high school because his family went on a deer hunting trip in eastern Washington, and he was not excused by the principal for going on that trip, and because of that, he does not carry a high school diploma today. He served for 15 years as the chairman of the school board down there and did a few other things that I'm very proud of, but he was denied that, basically thrown out of his senior year because he and his family went on a deer hunting trip. And I don't want to think that we in this body would ever encourage a school board in any community to act in that way because some young person with their family went to do something. I'd rather encourage the young people of this state to spend time with their families. So I feel very strongly about this bill, that it's a good thing and it provides some real local flexibility. So I'm voting for it.
I'm ready for the question. The question is, shall House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 132, Finance, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
34 yeas, 3 nays.
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 132, Finance, has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call and final passage be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Are there any objections as to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing none, the effective date clause has been adopted. Representative Zawacki.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 132. I'd like to bring that reconsideration up at this time.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on Senate Bill 132. The mover of the reconsideration has asked that it be brought up on the same day. Are there any objections? Any objections? Hearing none, the bill is before us under reconsideration and under debate. The question is, shall House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 132, Finance, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
34 yeas, 3 nays.
The bill has passed under reconsideration. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous that the roll call on final passage be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, the effective date clause has been adopted. Will the clerk read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill 195 by Senators Collins, Menard, Duncan, Sturgiluski, Zhuroff, Schultz, Ewing, and Pierce, and Act creating the Alaska School Counseling Program Grant Fund. The House Committee has considered the bill and recommends due pass, signing due pass, C. Davis, Carney, Lincoln, Gonzalez, and B. Davis. The Finance Committee considered the bill and had no recommendation, signing due pass, Navarre, Boyer, Brown, and Ulmer, with no recommendation, McLean, Copen, and Sharp, Phillips, and Larson. I have no committee substitutes or amendments.
Having no committee substitutes nor amendments or further amendments, Mr. Majority Leader. We have to move it to...
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was...
Mr. Majority Leader.
Yes, I had the wrong bill on top. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 195 be considered engrossed and advanced to third reading.
Are there any objection to the motion to advance? Hearing none, would the clerk please read the title of that bill for the third time?
Senate Bill 195, an act creating the Alaska School Counseling Program Grant Fund.
Third reading and under debate. Representative Gail Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to speak in support of this bill. And if anybody has any questions or doubt as to the validity and the necessity of a program such as this, if they could just briefly scan the sponsor's statement, I think that would clear up any questions in their mind. Thank you.
Ready for the question? The question is, shall Senate Bill 195 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
34 yeas, 2 nays.
Senate Bill 195 has passed the House. Representative Sherry Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to reconsider my vote on Senate Bill 195.
Okay,
and I'd like to ask that reconsideration, move and ask unanimous consent that reconsideration be brought up on the same day.
Okay. Representative Davis has asked, have you noticed reconsideration and reconsideration on the same day? Mr. Majority Leader? Yes. Will the House come back to order? Before the ADs, Representative Sherry Davis had given notice of reconsideration on Senate Bill 195, and she'd asked that reconsideration be brought up on the same day. Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the bill is before us under reconsideration. Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Bill 195 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? The clerk tally the board.
32 yeas, 2 nays.
Senate Bill 195 has passed the House on reconsideration. The next item on the calendar.
Senate Bill 203 by Senators Sturgiluski, Menard, and Jaroff. An act requiring that signs warning of possible danger from drinking alcohol during pregnancy also warn of possible danger from smoking cigarettes during pregnancy. The House Committee considered the bill and recommend do pass. Signing do pass, C. Davis, Carney, Lincoln, Gonzalez, and B. Davis. The Finance Committee considered the bill and recommend do pass. Signing do pass, McLean, Navarre, Boyer, Brown, Copeland, Phillips, Larson, and Ulmer, with no recommendation, Sharp. I have no committee substitutes.
Having no committee substitutes nor amendments, there will be no motion to advance. This will appear in third reading on the next legislative day's calendar. Would the clerk read the next item on the calendar?
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 97, an act relating to the Alaska Advanced College Tuition Payment Fund and providing for an effective date. We're in third reading.
We're in third reading. Is there any debate? Any debate? The question is, shall sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 97 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to... Representative Ulmer? The roll will be open for you. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
34 yeas, 0 nays.
Senate sponsor substitute, or sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 97 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to ask unanimous consent. The roll call and final passage be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Are there any objections to the adoption of the effective date clause? Hearing none, the effective date clause has been adopted.
Mr.
Would the clerk read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 160, Finance, an act relating to salaries for officers and employees who are not members of a collective bargaining unit and providing for an effective date.
Third reading, under debate. The question is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 160, Finance, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? We have M.A. Miller. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
34 yeas, 0 nays.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 160, Finance, has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call and final passage be considered the roll call of the effective date clause.
Any objections to the adoption of the effective date clause? It's adopted. The next, Representative Brown.
Could we have a very brief at ease?
Would the House stand at ease?
Yes, two matters, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 161 be held in second reading until tomorrow.
The bill is in third reading, so we'd hold it in third reading.
Yes, that's fine. Yeah. That's the first. Secondly, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Yeah, the members ought to know that the members may have a conflict on the last bill, House Bill 160, and I'm just announcing that if anyone needs to reconsider.
So we don't have to go through this again. Would the clerk please check the journal in relation when we dealt with it before, because there were about three members or four members that didn't have conflict of interest. The rest will be indicated that we have conflict. Would the clerk read Senate Bill 165? Representative Suwaki.
Brief edits, please.
The House stand at ease. Will the House come back to order? Would the clerk read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 165, Transportation, by the, an act relating to acquisition of vessels of the Alaska Marine Highway System having the capacity to assist in responding to spills of oil and hazardous substances, in third reading.
In third reading and under debate. Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to say just a couple of words about this. This is a new approach that tries to respond to the reaction to oil and other hazardous materials that might spill into the waters of Alaska, and I think it's rather unique in that it recognizes that the ferries of the state of Alaska essentially run the routes in which much of the oil is transferred around and transported around the waters of Alaska, and it simply provides for an opportunity to examine the entire fleet to find out how it might be retrofitted so as to be an asset in the event we did have another spill in the future, and perhaps to modify some of the ships so that they could accommodate perhaps a helicopter to bring a command crew out on board the vessel, or to perhaps carry some additional equipment by through modifications. So I think it's a sort of a unique one, and it would draw money out of the Oil and Hazardous Release Response Fund, which was created. That's the nickel a barrel fund, and I would urge people to vote for it.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I haven't, I've heard about the bill. I haven't had a chance to look at it too closely, but it seems like a bit of a stretch to me to be using money out of the Oil and Hazardous Release Response Fund to possibly construct or refurbish a marine highway system vessel, which is a ferry. And I don't want to see us starting to raid the fund to create
an oil and hazardous release or a oil spill control center at the University of Alaska, so we can use that to build a building up there, money out of this fund, or other projects. Like I said, I wasn't in on any of the hearings, but it sounds to me like it's just a way to use a different source of funds to build another ferry. And I don't have a problem with replacing some of the ferries that we have, but I think it's a little bit of a stretch to create a combined ferry slash oil response vessel. And for that reason, I think I'll vote against it.
Representative Cabina.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Actually, you know, this is really a very good idea. We had, logistically, the state had a lot of problems when the oil spill hit. And what this will do, it gives the state an opportunity to take something that we're going to do anyways, build another couple ferries, actually, in the years ahead, and to take some of the money out of the 470 fund, use that for only the part of the ferry that we would change, and the design and the change on that ferry that actually would be needed to make it to be able to respond. We can have containers, for example, sitting strategically all up and down our coast that have equipment in it, supplies in it that would be necessary to for these ships to respond to some type of oil spill. And the fund, the money out of this fund would only go towards that part that would be added cost because of this oil spill capability. It's really a great idea. We're going to build ferries anyways. We know we're going to build at least one, maybe two. It's really a great idea because then we're going to hit two birds with one stone. We'll have a vessel there that can immediately unload people, equipment, send that vessel back to one of several strategic places to pick up equipment, men. We have place for them to sleep. We have places for them to fix food. I'd urge the body to support this bill. I think it's a great concept, and we're looking forward to seeing it serve the whole state of Alaska.
Representative Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think it's a great opportunity. We should add roads here, too, that travel alongside of the pipeline so that we could straighten them out and pave them, and we could respond faster to the oil spills that may occur along the pipeline. But I don't think we're going to allow that, so I've got to vote against this bill.
I thought you were going to move back to second reading for the first. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think this is an innovative approach. The members will recall that following the spill, we set up a system of these depots and response areas. There's been a slow startup on getting that going. Under the plan and the budget, there's $2.9 million allocated for moving forward with putting our response capabilities in place, and I think this could be a very efficient way to fund this. I just note in the fiscal note, I think the $500,000 that's proposed to do the study in the first year could come out of the response office depot line that's already allocated. As for moving forward, there needs to be more study done as to exactly what would be done and how it would be done. And I believe we'll probably need to have the Exxon Valdez situation behind us before we were to undertake the magnitude of remodeling that's envisioned or putting together a new ferry.
Representative Parnell has been seeking the floor back
there
for a while.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I simply wanted to mention that I would support it. I think it's, as the Speaker said before, an innovative way, but we're always looking for ways to save money. And it certainly does give us the opportunity